Amen. Is God good?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is God good?
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Forever?
Yes.
God is really, really good. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves how good God is. Because I'll tell you, this world can come flooding in and make us dwell on all kinds of other things rather than the goodness of God. Amen?
Amen.
So is God alive to you?
Yes.
He is to me, right? God's alive. Does God see us?
Yes.
Does he care for us?
Yes.
He loves us, doesn't he? He loves us with the same love that he loved Jesus with, doesn't he?
Yes.
Is that true?
Amen.
Amen. So be it according to our words. Amen. We need to think on these things. We need to think on these things. How good God is. How faithful God is. How loving God is. It says, whatever is praiseworthy. Have you ever had a praiseworthy moment in your life? Can you recall it right now? Think about that praiseworthy moment where, oh, God just came through. Hallelujah. He just came through. We need to praise that. We need to speak of that. We need to remind ourselves of that. Oh, whatever is of good report. Have you ever had a good report?
Yes.
Have you ever? You need to stir yourself up and think about that good report that you had. It's true. It's really true. That's how God operates. Isn't that right? Whatever is virtuous. Oh, whatever is... Have you ever had a moment when just everything was going right and just the life of God just flooded you? You could feel that life and presence of God. That's virtue. That's that virtue that flows into us. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She touched it and virtue flowed into her, that life of God. You need to think of those times and remember them and stir yourself up. That is the reality that we're to live in. That's our reality. That's a commandment of God to live in that reality. So we have to literally exercise our minds and stir ourselves up to live in that room. To live in that room and to live from that place. Are you with me? It is very easy to get our intellect focused on so many, what is the right word? Lies. Obscurities, worthless, non-eternal life things. And that will rob us because that creates a realm of darkness in our minds, obscurity in our minds by thinking on those things. Are we children of light or children of darkness? We're children of light. Therefore, what do we live in? The light. Where is that light? That light is in my mind. That's in the way that I think. It comes from my spirit. And that spirit that dwells in me renews my mind to the eternal living truth of God. Is God the God of the living or the dead?
Living.
Hallelujah. Is he your father?
Yep.
Your real father.
Yep.
He is. He's yours and mine, real father. And he's the God of the living. And he's my God and my father. Therefore, I will live for at least 85 to 120 years, right? Mm-hmm. I love the ones that are shaking their heads. No. I will live into perpetuate, whatever that perpetuity, foreverness, I will never end. So I live a life in my thoughts, in the way that I construct who I am. I live for eternity. My decisions are based on eternity. My programming has to be rewritten. That's the renewing of my mind. I have to be rewritten not according to the construction of this world and how this world says truth and reality is, but I have to let the Holy Spirit show me heavenly truths that I can now have my life constructed in spirit, in eternity, in the presence of God, in the fullness of joy, with thankfulness and rejoicing continuously because of I have eternal, abundant, joyful life flowing in, through, and out of me. Amen. That is my reality and your reality. But we have to exercise our minds to live that truth. Are you with me? It's not something we should do. It's not something that's good for us. It's a commandment of God. And if you don't do it, you're rebelling against God. If you choose to live in darkness, now here's your choice. Ready? The thought will come. The idea will come. The feeling will come because you're in the world. And because there is an adversary that has designed a method for ruining you. He knew before you were born because he knew your parents. And so he knew you before you were born, that when you were born, he had a plan to destroy, corrupt, break, and damage you. He actually did it. He broke every single one of us. But we have a Savior, a Lord Jesus Christ, that has renewed us from the destruction that has happened in our flesh and in our mind, and has seated us in heavenly places in His glory and His presence. That's a fact. And so He says, therefore, we need to rejoice always. And then He even repeats it. Again, I say, rejoice. We need to know and stir up our minds to the reality of God. Here's something. The devil, Pastor Trey and I and Bruce were talking about this as lunch one day, and Pastor Trey, ask him to do the example because I can't, about this person that had a demon, and whoever was casting the demon out was talking to them about the demon, and they were in a dialogue, and Pastor said he's not condoned that at all, but he was just watching what was going on, and there was a dialogue, and the demon was talking about how they purpose to cause us to be led by our feelings. They purpose that they cause us to be led by our feelings, what we feel. Those feelings were trained by the world. They were trained by a systematic pattern of living. That means doing the same thing over and over, thinking the same thoughts over and over, feeling the same feelings over and over, so you don't even think about it anymore. It's just in you. That's your enemy. That's not the real you. It was a you created out of being hurt and trying to protect yourself. But it's not the real you or me. The real you and me is born of God. It's an entirely different life. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and He told us that we are to live according to that eternal life by setting our mind on things above and not on the things on this earth. And that we are to stir ourselves up. And that we, when we come together, we're supposed to speak life to one another. We're supposed to remind one another who we are in Christ. We're supposed to pray with one another, rejoice with one another, cry with one another, have sympathy and empathy for one another, and have compassion and mercy for one another. There is not one person in this room that lives unto themselves according to the Word of God. Not one of us lives alone. Whether that's the enemy in darkness that makes you think you're alone. I promise you that if I took all sound out of this room so that sound did not exist anymore, in other words, I made it so that you couldn't feel anything on your skin, no temperature, and I made it so your ears couldn't hear any sound, that all you had were your eyeballs, okay? And then I made this room literally pitch black. And do you know that you would think you are completely alone? You would think you were completely alone because you couldn't see anybody else. You couldn't hear anybody else. You couldn't feel anybody else. What the devil does is he shuts down our hearts and causes us to live in darkness so that we can't connect heart to heart with other people. Okay? So what we have to do is to call that dead. Not live in it anymore. Not fix it. Not fix it. Acknowledge what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and with his blood. We acknowledge that, and that's what cleanses it away. That's not you resist. Okay, thank you, Lord, I'll do it. If you got hurt in your heart, if you have an idea about yourself that is unholy, it is not the way it is in the kingdom of God. If you do, you can't ignore that. It's real to you. You have to face it. You have to bring it to the Lord, and you have to let him heal you of it, cleanse you of it, and completely remove it so that there's no unrighteousness in you. There's nothing that thinks you're less than God in you. See, that's what the devil does. He makes us think we're flawed or less or by ourselves or powerless or feeble or inadequate in some way, that we would separate ourselves from the love of God and that we would have to face these things on our own, hoping that God is going to show mercy on us and save us from it. What we have to do is be honest. If I'm carrying it, I'm carrying it. If I'm afraid, I'm afraid. That doesn't make God a liar. It doesn't make God unpowerful, and it doesn't make you sinful. But we have to bring that into the light, because anything that is brought into the light, God can remove for us. He can't remove anything that we don't have. You may be carrying it, but you won't acknowledge it. You keep dismissing it and pushing it away and saying, that has no power over me. That's not of God. That's not the way I'm supposed to be. And you keep shoving it aside instead of saying, yes, Lord, this thing is harassing me all the time. This thing gets me when I'm sleeping at night and wakes me up and makes me start thinking about it. I bring this to you, Lord, and we get rid of it. Amen? Is God good? He's really good. Is he the God of the living or the dead? God of the living. Do you have temporary life that'll be 85 to 120 years on the earth? No, you're going to live forever. The flesh may live for 85 or 120 years on the earth, but you will never stop being. Therefore, set your mind on things above and not on the things on this earth. Are you with me again? See how easy it is to slip around and start thinking of things that are not praiseworthy, that are not edifying, that are not filled in victory. We live a victorious life. And we have to renew our minds continually to those things, continually rejoicing, continually praising, because it's the truth of who we are. Amen? Father, I'd like to start my message now. Although it has, amen, it really has. I want to talk to you about the way you think. Is that okay? Okay. All right. Can I confess first? That'll make it easier on you if I just use me telling you the truth about me. That'll let you be able to be truthful with you. Is that all right? Okay, because I'll tell you what. You are me. I am you. She is her, and she is her. We are one. Judge not, lest you be judged. If I judge you, I judge myself. What I think about you, I think about myself. We are one, right? That's why I think good things about you. That's why I use grace towards you. That's why I think before I speak when I speak to you. Because whatever I give to you, I get to eat. Are you with me? We are one. One spirit, one life. That's us. So let's talk about our thinking, shall we? So if we're one, how important are other people?
Very.
They're very important to us. Very, very important to us. Are you ready? I was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, water baptized, going to Bible college, been taken to heaven, been taken to outer darkness, had spiritual lightning bolts hit me on top of my head and show me great and mighty things in the future. I've had all kinds of spiritual experiences. Guess what? I didn't even like people. I put up with people. I tolerated people. I endured people. I did not relish in the presence of others. I tolerated them because I lived alone in my heart. I lived alone in my heart. I was the only one in there. I made a prison because I'd been hurt in the past, and because of that, I made a prison that I lived in, calling it safe. But what it actually did was it stole my heart from being able to be vulnerable, transparent, and truthful to others. Because I carried a lot of stuff in there that I thought that if other people knew about it, they wouldn't like me. They wouldn't want me. I was too busy trying to be spiritual rather than being real, because I didn't realize that I was spiritual anyway. I can't lose being spiritual. Just like you can't lose you. You can't. You are. And I was. I just didn't know it. And I had to learn how to get honest with God and myself, with what was really in my heart and what I really believed. And when I was able to do that and start getting those one by one cleaned up, life started flooding into a place that I had closed off. Out of self-protection, out of ignorance, in a place of safety. Are you with me? Am I the only one? That's okay if I am. That's okay if I am. Jesus loves me. See, I'm just going to be able to say that I came from a further distance to get here than other people, because I had a lot of hurt in my heart still. So here's the thing. The devil used that in my life to rob me from being the fullness of Jesus to other people. I couldn't be the fullness of Jesus to other people. You know why? because I was closed off to the very life of God that was inside of me. In Ephesians, let's look in Ephesians real quick in chapter 4. In verse 17. Let's go up a little higher. Let's go, I'm going to go all the way up to 12. Just do Ephesians chapter 4. this was me. So I want to make a comparison here. So we're starting in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are talking about the fivefold ministry as the Bible, as people teach, right? The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? And they are for the equipping of the saints. Okay? And in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That's you and me. Till we all, we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, until you personally, say me.
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 Until I walk in perfection. Till I walk in perfection. Till you walk in perfection. So what's the standard here?
Perfection.
How many are falling short? Okay. Let's go on. So let me just tell you. Whatever you say you're supposed to accomplish on the earth, that's one of the major things. Because God gave gifts to the church, to men, that these guys would teach us how to do that. Moving on. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Back up one second. To the knowledge of who? All right. Who knows Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay. If I asked you this question, I've done this with Pastor Trey, we've talked about it. If I asked you to tell me about Jesus that you personally know, the one that has spent time with you alone, and you're not allowed to use Bible scriptures to tell me, you have to tell me of your personal relationship with him, who he is, how he is, what he teaches you, what he says, how he behaves, what he likes, because you know him. You have a personal acquaintance with him himself. The knowledge of the Son of God. You know Jesus. How much can you say about him? How much time would you need? 4 hours? 6 hours? 2 days, or 1 minute? Do we really take the Bible seriously that Jesus is the Son of God and that God is good and it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, that we should enter in and partake of these spiritual things, that we would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately, personally? How many of you have said this? I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 5 of you. Okay, I can understand if only 5 of you have. All right. So I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's not a dead horse. It's a living, running, active horse here. I don't want to beat a horse. Period. All right. The point is this. The Bible is constantly talking about the knowledge of God. Okay? The knowledge of God, that you know God himself. Matthew 7 says that people will come to the Lord and they will say, didn't I do great and mighty things in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do wondrous works in your name? Didn't I prophesy? How many of y'all can do those things? Three hands are raised that time. Okay. Losing you here. He says to many of these people, go away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's tough. That's really tough. Because they operated in the gifts that God gave them, but not desiring Him Himself. He should be our first love. Right? If He's not your, what does it mean to be your first love? Not the first in order of your natural physical life, the first in priority of value, the highest, the biggest, the most important of all, first place love. With me? Let me go on. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that you personally, say I would walk in the fullness of Christ. That's what he's expecting here. I just want to let you know. I am not making this up. This is what Jesus put the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers on the earth, that you would be perfect, actually knowing the Son of God yourself, that you can walk in the fullness of His glory on this earth. Let's go on. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. I'm not going to address that. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. So then, you speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. If you're going to grow up into Christ, you must know Him, right? You need to know Him. I must be saying no about Him, right? I must be saying that He exists. I must know that He exists, right? I must be saying that. I must be saying that, well, the Bible talks about Jesus, and I agree with Him, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart once, so that must be what you're talking about, right? I want to make this very clear. I am absolutely not talking about that. I am absolutely, unequivocally, without any apologies whatsoever, saying Jesus Christ is absolutely knowable as a person and as God. And He has a personal relationship with each one of us and lives in us personally. And when we have issues, we need to go to Him personally and talk to Him about those things. And if we have troubles in our hearts, we need to take those troubles before Him personally and get our answers from God. Okay? The heart of people is to have something between us and God that we can go to. That's the carnal mind does that. Remember in the Old Testament, when God spoke from the mountain, they were so afraid, they said, Moses, you talk to Him. We'll do what you say. We don't want to talk to Him. Because the carnal man is afraid of God. But see, the spirit man knows that God is love. The flesh man, it's enmity against Him. He can't even know or begin to fulfill the laws of God. They're enemies. Your flesh cannot come into the presence of God. But the spirit that you are, who God bore you and made you alive, comes into his presence easily with joy and with thanksgiving, rejoicing, letting your request be made known unto him. Are you with me? Moving right along. 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's many ways to look at this. There's many levels to look at this. There's the way a church functions. There's the way we've been taught nationally. And here I'm going to give you another way. And this may be taught too. It may be very common to you. When you go into the presence of God, when you talk to Jesus and he talks with you, and he deals with these things that you carry, and he sets you free of those things, you then share them with us. And when you share what he told you and gave you with us, we are set free and built up by the very reality of the revelation of the gift of God through you being in his face with him. And that is my joint being connected to your joint. And that my life from the Holy Spirit flows into your life into the Holy Spirit. And your life from the Holy Spirit flows into my life in the Holy Spirit. And the two are made one through the Lord Jesus Christ that we all have to do with. Right? But it takes us being in his presence, talking with him himself. Are you with me? A two-way conversation, people. I'm not kidding, and I'm not trying to minimize this. An absolute two-way manifestation that God talks to you. Are you with me? Whatever he says will align with this because it's based in love. If it's love, it's God. That's how you know. If it sets people free, it's God. That's how you know. Now let's get to verse 17, the one I wanted to get to. All right? Are you with me? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer... That's these people he was just talking to, that you all that I was just talking to, should no longer walk as the rest of the world or the Gentiles walk, in the futility, the obscurity, the inutility, or the darkness of their minds. Having their understanding, their dianoia, their deep thoughts, this word is translated understanding, mind and imagination, in the deep recesses of you, the way you think in the depths of your being, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Remember, I said I didn't live out of my heart. I lived out of my mind, because being vulnerable, transparent to other people from my heart meant that I had to be open to them hurting me, judging me. But if I kept that closed, because my heart is where I feel from, the word heart, cardia, it literally means your thoughts and your feelings. It's a depth of you, the center, the core of you. We've had lots of conversations on what exactly the heart is, but just break it down. It's just the center of you that feels and thinks, okay? And from that place, they've been hurt so much that they shut it down and they were not able to experience the life of God because they lived out of their minds, a construct, a framework, a way of life that was in do rather than be. Are you with me? It was about how they behave, how they show themselves to one another, the facade on the outside rather than how they really feel and think and are. Letting your guard down, walking in humility, being vulnerable, being truthful, being transparent. Because what you're going through is what you're going through. And that's what we bring to God. Are you with me? How do you get to know God? How do you actually get to know Jesus? So if I wanted to build a relationship with Jesus, I'm already a Christian, okay? Say that again. Spend time with him. But let's just say that I've been the person that's been living out of my mind the whole time because I've actually been hurt. And so I've shut down my feelings in my heart, the transparent, vulnerable stuff, because it's unsafe for me to come out. It's very hard to get to know Jesus because he dwells in my heart, not in my mind. And I take that back because it is your mind. It's really difficult to say exactly where it is that you live inside this body, isn't it? It's really difficult to say where you think from in this body or where you feel from. Where's the real you in here? You know that? It's tough. If I cut off a finger, I would say that was my finger that left. So the me is still in here, not in the finger, right? Well, how far do I go until it's me that's laying on the carpet? You know, it's really tough to say at what part I occupy. So let's not try to diagnose it way too much other than this. Here's where I'm going to be transparent. Not that I haven't been this whole time, but here's where it's going to be. I did not understand how to actually grow in the Spirit. No one was teaching me how to grow in the Spirit. They were telling me the things to do. They were telling me to read my Bible. Read your Bible. They were telling me to pray. I'm telling you, pray. They would tell me to rejoice. I would rejoice. They would tell me to pray in my heavenly language. I would pray in my heavenly language. Pray in your heavenly language. So is that how you grow in the Spirit? Everybody's afraid to answer. I ain't about to even wink or anything. No way. So forget being judged. We're all here together. Is that how you grow in the Spirit? To you, is that how you grow in the Spirit? Yes, it is. It is. But I want to let you know something. All of those things by themselves won't do it. Those things won't do it by themselves without one very critical component. You know what it is? Your mind, you. The Bible talks over and over and over again about renewing our mind, doesn't it? I have a bunch of verses up here for you. Right? Doesn't it say that? We need to renew our minds. Here's what I used to think. If you guys still think this, it's okay. I'm not judging you, okay? We are where we are, and by the Holy Spirit and the Bible, we will move forward from this place. All of us will move forward from the place that we are right now. Listen, there's no condemnation in us. None. Because we don't live according to the flesh. We live according to the Spirit. So we walk in victory and power and unison. Unity. Unity. Thank you. So that's us. So when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says your mind is unfruitful, right? So that means you have to decide to use your mind. So you can do both. When you read your Bible, can you read your Bible and your mind wander. But did you read it? Legally, you read it. If you're to grow by it, you may not have. So is there a sinking in? Is there a waking up to it that has to happen inside of us? There is, isn't there? When you sing a song, you can sing any song that you've learned or can read the words on and follow a melody, right? Or you can sing a song that comes out of your heart, that's come out of the intuitive inspiration from within you to the Lord. You can do that. I would like to make aware to you that where I fell short and am now making up ground is this. And I'm not saying any of you are guilty of it at all. I'm saying this was my thing. I would pray in the Holy Ghost. I would read my Bible. I would pray for others occasionally, because remember, I didn't really like people, so they weren't the first thing I thought about. The first thing I thought about was the man in the mirror, in all honesty. Lord, you need to help me. Lord, I need to grow. Lord, I need revelation. Lord, I need to be able to heal the sick. Lord, I need. That's where I was coming from. Music from heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Music from heaven. So here's what I learned. I was still living out of the obscurity and the darkness of my mind. Okay? I'm a child of light. I didn't know how to actually serve God in the Spirit. I didn't know how to identify myself in the Spirit. I didn't know what I looked like in the Spirit. I didn't know what I thought in the Spirit. I didn't know if there was other things around me in the Spirit. It was a dark place in my mind. Now I'm going to go to the edge, if you don't mind. So just hang with me here. When I was born again, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new, right? We've learned spirit, soul, and body. The old things that should pass away are the things that we think in our minds, and what the furniture and the way we constructed the walls that we live in our minds. The Holy Spirit is going to renew us from the inside out. It's called regenerate us, right? From the inside out. Renovate us from the inside out. That's not my organs. It's not my tissue. It's not my bones. It's the constructions of my mind on what I call real and true, what I protect myself with, what I clothe myself with, how I identify myself, what I believe is the truth, is all my construction through my relationship with my earthly father and mother, my school, my city, how people treated me in school, what hurt me, what didn't hurt me, what I was ashamed of, what I carried in offenses, all of that constructed in there. In darkness. And in all honesty, I was very afraid to use my imagination and to go into my mind and see what was in there. I was very afraid of it. I was afraid of demonic stuff. I was afraid of transgressing God. I was afraid of doing some New Age thing. This is me being honest with you. I was afraid to really look at me in me. I was afraid to be okay thinking about the kingdom of God, about heaven, about the Holy Spirit teaching me, about Jesus ministering to me. Because it's in the Spirit, by faith, where these things take place. I was afraid to go in there. I still am not great at it. Because it's dark in there for me in a lot of places. Because I've lived through a lot of filth and a lot of hurt. So that construct, that framework of what was in, that is still in my mind when I think about these things, needs to be cleaned up by God. I take these things now to Jesus and we talk about them, whether I need them anymore. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, let's just go there, would you? First John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
And has given us an understanding. That is dianoia. That is your deep thoughts, your imagination, your mind, and your understanding. That we may know him who is true. Stop, back up. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us a mind, an imagination, an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Where is that at? That's with me. He's given me this mind, these deep thoughts. That's how I interact with him. I was afraid to do that. Because of that, I didn't have a real personal relationship with him. I couldn't go to his face because I was afraid to go there. And then I didn't go for so long because I was afraid of demons and darkness and being wrong and transgressing God and it not being a doctrine of the church and all these things that I kind of like, what's it called? Atrophied in that. To where now when I want to go, it's really hard to go. And I have to practice and practice and practice. But now I practice. Now I look at what's in my mind. I look at what's in my heart. I look at what's around me in the Spirit. And I use the eyes of my heart, the eyes of my imagination, the eyes of my mind, my mind's eye, and I look around. I never did that. I just kept my attention in the world. And doing that, I was able to, sure, Jesus is truthful. Sure, Jesus is real. Sure, Jesus is faithful. But I was not growing up into perfection yet. It was all him doing it for me. All right, I'm going to tell on myself again. I'm guilty of this, so it's no wonder that I walk through this trash, huh? Who of you knows me? Raise your hand if you know me. Come on, some more of that. You guys know me. Raise your hand if you think you know me. All right, so let me ask you this. How often do I call you on the telephone? Not very often, do I? How often do you call me on the telephone? Hardly ever, huh? So let me ask you this. If I say I love you, but I never call you, or look forward to your call to me, then do I really? Just saying. How many of us say we know God, But if we're not spending time in his actual presence, but we're talking about him and expecting that we do have this invisible relationship that's kind of with a chasm between it, but he's love and he's good, so of course I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And that ambiguous nothingness in between is the part that we are commanded to fill in by living in the light, by walking in the light, by renewing that arena with the things that the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father shows us through spending time in the Word and with them personally. Jesus says that he and his Father in the book of John, if we will abide in him, they will make their home in us. Where is that home? In my mind. In me. The me that I'm aware of. But if I live in darkness, if I never go there, if I never look at what's in me with open, unashamed eyes, what do I carry about who I am? Am I the embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ yet? No, I'm on my way though. I am. I've renounced every sin that I'm aware of. I deliberately do not participate in those things. I don't let the corruption enter my mind. I take authority over my thoughts as quickly as I am able to. If an emotion rises inside of me that is not joy and love with an expectation of life and goodness, I shut it down quick and I don't allow it to habitate in me. I'm learning how to live godly through a relationship with Jesus, the real Jesus Christ in the Spirit. If we're spiritual, we need to not only live in the Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to actually be spiritual. You can't pretend you're spiritual. You are. But if you don't open up the recesses of the darkness that is around you in your mind, in your sensory perceptions of the Spirit of God, you're perceiving spiritual things, you have to wake up to them and stop being afraid of the devil, of transgressing God, of doing it right or wrong, or being ashamed of anything about you. God is loved and he's wiped it all clean. What am I talking about? I'm talking about have a relationship with the real Jesus Christ. That in his presence is actually the fullness of joy. That in him is eternal life. That every good and perfect gift came from the Father of lights. Every bit of it. You and I are allowed to come into his presence. When I went to heaven, I told Jesus, Jesus, you got to come back with me. You've got to come back with me so that I can show you to everybody so that they will believe. And here's what he said that shocked me. I probably told you this before. I mean, it shocked me. He said, I have come to man. Now man must come to me. How do you do that? As I've started doing these exercises of actually trying to get before the Lord in my mind and in my heart, in the joy and in humility, and honestly, the Bible says that those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. The genuineness of who you are, genuinely, as your first priority in love. And as I've started doing that, the very first thing, as I saw Jesus, he had this scroll and he unrolled the scroll and I looked at the piece of paper that was on it. And he showed me a triangle, or it was two triangles on the page. And the triangles were facing, the points were facing each other. And the two points came together and crossed over each other, and it made the star David. Just right there, the two triangles, they moved right on the paper and moved and made the star of David. God has come to man, and we are together now. The glory that is of God is of us, and we will be filled with the fullness of his glory. That glory we have right now as a deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The first of it is already there. God did that the second time I did this, which was a few months later. Because again, I tell you the truth, I didn't know how to actually enter in to the Spirit, because I'm so used to it being dark and muddy and scary and who knows what, these shadowy figures in there and stuff in my mind and around me when I try to look in the Spirit. I had to learn how to relax, be safe, and look for Jesus only. The second time, I think I've told you this, I was on a cloud. There's this big cloud. I was in my office at home on the floor leaning up against the couch. This big cloud formed in front of me. It's beginning in my imagination of my mind as I'm trying to set my mind on things above where Christ is. And as I'm trying to actually physically do that, these clouds start forming in front of me as my natural eyes are closed and my real eyes are open. And I'm looking, and this cloud starts forming in front of me, and Jesus walks right out of this cloud. And he walks out, and he's in the white robe and the belt. I mean, it's just like you think it would be. And he walks out on the cloud, and he holds out his hand to me like this. I know I'm in my office at home, sitting on the floor, leaning up against the couch. I stepped right up onto that cloud. When I stepped up on that cloud, I did this, because I'm me. I'm just you're the real you. I'm the real me. I went like this when I stepped on the cloud. I go, it's firm. That's what I said to the Lord as soon as I stepped across. Have you ever stepped on a cloud? You'd check it out too, I guarantee it. And I stepped on that cloud, and he's there, and as he brings me onto that cloud, we start walking, and as we start walking, he says, I want to give you something. I said, okay. And he showed me in the distance these two mountains. I could see them clear as a bell, two mountains. And I said, what are they, Lord? He said, wisdom and revelation. All of a sudden, I felt a hand in my back. I'm just being honest with you. I felt a hand in my back and start pushing me towards those mountains. Like I was going to get them right now. You know what? I'm not used to being there. I'm not used to it. I was freaking out. And so that hand was pushing me. I rolled off of the hand because I was going too fast there. I wasn't ready for it. It was only my second time in there. And I was back with Jesus again on the cloud. This time he's holding a bottle of wine. And he says, I want to have communion with you. And he pours a glass of wine, about a shot glass size, not these little teeny cups we get. Jesus went about this big cup, handed it to me, and then he just had this bread in his hands. He broke the bread, and he handed me some of the bread, and he says, take this and eat all of it. And I did. And then the wine, he said, drink this. It's for the healing of your mind, your emotions, and the cleansing of your sins. I said, and I drank it right down. Then I say, what is this place? He says, this is the beginning. I said, okay. He says, I want to introduce you to somebody. I'm thinking Father God. I've never met Father God that I know of. I've never met him. I don't even know if I've ever really honestly heard his voice. I don't know. So I'm thinking, Father God, and this is what he says. I want you to meet the Holy Spirit. I thought I knew the Holy Spirit. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean I know him. Does not mean I know him. I started crying. I was embarrassed and I was ashamed because I realized he's a person. And he's watched me do all kinds of evil things. He's watched me lose my temper. He's watched me think evil thoughts. He's watched me think bad about myself. He's watched me cry and just not believe God. He's watched all of that. And the realness of that had just hit me in that moment. And I went through, I said, Holy Spirit, please forgive me for the times I've grieved you and ignored you and just thought you were a thing instead of a person. And you know what? He is so cool. He didn't even address it. He went right on just as nice as can be and says, there's some things I want to show you. And right then, after he said that, the whole thing just kind of evaporated. I deliberately started that. But because of my faithfulness to just try to get to my Father and my Lord, just trying to get there, he took it over. And from his side, he bloomed all of that. We have to come to him. We have to believe him. We have to know that what he told us in the Bible is true and do the will of God. Really, I want to encourage you guys. Get to know Jesus himself. Make it a honest, what's it called? Goal? Is that the right word? I don't even think that's the right word. A desire. Let it be an intense desire that he will actually be your first love. And the way you'll know that he's your first love, I'm speaking to me just as well as I'm speaking to you, is because you will want to spend all your time with the first love. Whatever you love the most, you want the most of. I love Jesus more than Starbucks. That is a big accomplishment, I want to let you know. Seriously, you know why? Because that's what I used to look forward to. Now I look forward to getting into my quiet place and shutting the door, getting into my closet and shutting the door so that nobody can interrupt me, so that I go into my secret place, which is in me. In me is the kingdom of God. In me is where the Father dwells. In me is where the Holy Spirit is. In me is where eternal life dwells, because there's no limit to the size of the area inside of me. It is a forever expanding place. And I purposefully am inhabiting more of it. And I go to God that way. Amen? And I look forward to getting quiet and getting before the Lord. Because once I connect, I am amazed at what he teaches me and shows me. Are you with me? Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, dearest Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would take our honest and sincere hearts that are before you, Lord, that we would not be cut off, an island unto ourselves, that we would learn how to wake up and be with you, Lord. That we would put on Christ, Lord. That we would set our minds on things above where Christ is. That it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, Lord. That the reality of these things, Father, would be alive and awake inside of us. That Jesus, we could know you face to face personally. Holy Spirit, that we would treat you with honor and reverence. That we would uphold what you teach us as high and esteem it highly. that the reality that we are spiritual, we would wake up to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just believe by faith that everyone that can hear my voice, Lord, would have not only the strength, but that you would make the way, that the reality of a two-way relationship would take place in the hearts and minds of each individual that hears me now, Lord. That we can be taught by you, Jesus. That we can be taught by you, Holy Spirit. That we can walk with you, Father, and be taught by you, Father. That we believe the Word of God as the truth and the foundation of who we are. That you gave us these things written down on paper, Lord, so that we could have a real relationship with you, even into eternal life. Lord, I ask that the people that can hear me now, that they would learn how to make you their first love, so that we would come into your presence with singing, into your presence with joy, that we would rejoice before you, that we would deliberately take authority over our thoughts and think on good, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, virtuous, and any good thing, Lord Jesus. That we would bring everything before you, Lord. That we would share everything with you, Lord, knowing that the answers to our prayers are yes, here it is. That we can thank you openly, praise you openly for being good, Lord. And the reality of a relationship with you would far supersede anything of darkness according to the spirit of this world, Lord. That, Lord, as we have a two-way dialogue, conversation, and love back and forth with you, that people truly would consider us peculiar, Lord, because they don't know what that is like. And Father, if anyone that hears my voice now does not know what that is like, Holy Spirit, through your graciousness, I ask that you would reveal these things through the Spirit in their mind, Lord, that it be renewed to the kingdom of God and to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father through you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, Lord. I love you guys.